A short time after the world moved into the 21st century, I began coming out of the closet. I knew that it was going to be a slow and difficult process, but I regarded coming out as a kind of chore, one of many things on my life's to-do list. In my mind, right below this task, there was a long but finite list of names that extended down the page with a checkbox beside each. I imagined that I would come out to each person on the list and subsequently mark the square next to his or her name. I envisioned the boxes filling with checks and thought that when all the squares were full, I would be finished. But this kind of thinking didn't last very long, because I quickly realized that even in the most mundane, unexpected settings, there were personal questions aimed my way, by my hairdresser, by the guys at work, and perhaps most shockingly, by my gynecologist, none of whom had been on my list. My sister was the first person I ever came out to. When I shared the news, she hugged me and said, "That's great," which was strange at the time, since being gay was, for me, a tragedy of grand proportions. Had I heard her correctly? Had she heard me correctly? Perhaps I needed to say it again. In the end, whatever she thought was so great about my being gay was too big a mystery for me to unravel. So I just nestled in her arms and cried, figuring that if she could see something great in my sexuality, maybe one day I would too. Hell, I would settle for seeing something good, or average, or slightly below average. Aside from my sister, whom I told without much forethought, I came out to every other person I knew twice. The first coming out was always an imagined one, a dress rehearsal in which I ran through the conversation that I intended to have with the person and then forced myself to think of the worst possible reaction that could result. I would then spend the next few days, or weeks, or months living with the imagined fear, and when I felt certain enough that I could handle the worst-case scenario, it was on to the big show. My parents were next on the list. I spent a good bit of time trying to prepare. To get ready, I pretended that they were disgusted at the news and disowned me. I thought about how odd and sad and lonely it would be to find myself suddenly without parents. I also listened to friends who shared stories about how their parents had reacted. One friend's mother began calling her apartment. Armed with the new knowledge that her daughter's roommate was actually a girlfriend, the mother took to screaming, "Hua," in a thick Chinese accent anytime the answering machine or the girlfriend picked up. Fortunately, my parents weren't really the disowning type. When I told them, they were perfect. We had been on the phone in the midst of discussing a family emergency involving my sister, so both of my parents had been on the line. I imagined them in their usual places, my mother sitting in the living room, the long cord extending from the kitchen wall phone, my father in the upstairs bedroom with a static-prone cordless pressed to his ear. "I need to tell you something," I said. All the discussions I'd been having with my parents regarding my sister's problem had made me feel like a lying hypocrite. How could I discuss my sister's deep, dark secrets when I was hiding a doozy of my own? "I think," I started, but my voice cracked and tears poured down my face. My breathing became uneven. "Yes? Honey?" I think I'm bisexual," I blurted. I knew this wasn't true, but I couldn't get my mouth to form the word gay. I don't remember who spoke first, but I do remember that both my mother and father said all the right things, that it didn't matter, that they loved me no matter what. I think somewhere deep down, despite all my preparation, I had known that they would. What I didn't know was that they'd be able to find the words to articulate their love so well, but both my mother and father were as poised and graceful as could be. Unfortunately, the moment didn't last. Soon after I came out, my mother's tenderness disappeared, and in its place came a series of conversations when it became clear that she desperately hoped that all of this was just a phase. To be fair, perhaps I'd confused her with my initial use of the word bisexual, but it didn't help matters when I later clarified the label. "How do you know you're gay?" my mother asked during one of these dialogues. "You've never really been with a guy." She was right on that count. Though I'd dated plenty of men, I had never had sex with any of them. "Well," I answered, "how do you know you're straight? You've never been with a woman." I thought myself clever and quick-witted for this retort, and believed she would have to concede the point. But my mother was undeterred. "Well, maybe I am gay," she replied without hesitation. I was stunned silent. Her response demonstrated how desperate she was to change my mind. If anything was possible, then there might still be hope that I could be straight. "Oh, really? Well, maybe you should let Dad know," I said bitingly. When my mother wasn't busy trying to talk me out of being gay, she lectured me about the fact that my sexuality was my business, no one else's. I didn't need to tell anyone about my personal life. "That's ridiculous," I said. "People talk about their lives. They talk about their significant other. Why should I be any different?" "That information is private," she said. "Private? You talk about Dad. Is that private?" "That's different." These conversations infuriated me, partly because it stung to know that she was encouraging me to stay in the dark confines of my closet, and partly because I knew she was right. I would have to be selective about what I revealed and to whom. As time wore on, I was finding more and more that I never allowed myself to drop the term girlfriend or partner into a conversation without first assessing my situation with a series of questions. Am I safe? How will people react? Do I need to care? On top of all that, I wasn't exactly proud of being gay either. Earlier that year, I'd met a short-haired, thin lesbian who cooked at the restaurant where I'd worked. She wore small, rainbow-colored earrings and told me they were her gay pride earrings. That was the first time I'd ever heard that phrase, and it struck me as an oxymoron. The way I saw it, you could be gay or you could be proud, but you couldn't be both. Managing to live with the shame I felt about being gay was the best I could hope for at that time. In hindsight, I understand that my mother's urgings were her way of trying to protect me, and probably herself a bit too. I think she was afraid that I would go around announcing myself to everyone, but to some degree, I've always tried to be respectful of her feelings. For many years, I simply flew beneath the radar. I didn't invent boyfriends, but also never came right out and said that the person I brought to Thanksgiving dinner every year was my significant other. Mostly, I introduced my girlfriend by name and let my family draw their own conclusions about why we lived together and called the dogs ours. People know what they want to know. Even now, 13 years after first uttering the words, "I am gay," I find that I am continually confronted with a whole host of bizarre situations when I must decide whether or not to come out. The plumber who asks if my husband is at work. The man at the boat rental place who assumes that the romantic excursion I am planning is for my boyfriend. The grocery checkout clerk who asks if my wife Lindsay and I are sisters. And though I don't fret over these inevitable situations the way I once did, the same questions flash through my mind. Am I safe? How will people react? Do I need to care? Over the years, I've realized that every time I fail to correct a person who presumes that I am straight, I am remaining closeted. And more often than not, my silence is a product of a lingering shame, not fear. Fortunately, these days, the answers to these questions are rarely impediments to my honesty. So as often as I feel up to the task, I cross people off the list as quickly as they appear on it. Plumber? Check. Boat rental guy? Check. As for the weird grocery clerk, maybe next time.
Danielle Arellano, reading from her memoir, Getting Over the Rainbow. It's due to be published in 2015 by the ebook publisher She Books. Arellano also writes a column called Outskirts for Baltimore Gay Life, and her writing has been featured on Huffington Post, Baltimore Fishbowl, and Cobalt Review.